WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the student section. This is your host, Connor Rolls, and I'm with Jalen Brooks.
Yo, how are we doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good.
So we just got back from All-Star break. Let's talk about that. How did we feel about that dunk contest and three-point contest? We're not even talking about the game, because that game was very, very...
There's no point. There's no point to talk about All-Star weekend. Like, they're lucky. The NBA is lucky that we had actually for once in, like, a million years had a good NBA dunk contest.
Mm-hmm. Because it's been a long time.
If there was... besides the dunk contest, and I know, like, some people look forward to the three-point contest. I wasn't really into it, but... But that being said, if there was no dunk contest this year, we would not be talking about this All-Star game at all. Like, the NBA's All-Star event is, like, both leagues, to be honest, like Pro Bowl and like All-Star events, they're kind of done. They're just they're not what they used to be. But if we're not counting the game, then I thought the 3-point contest and dunk contest were like pretty good this year. I'm actually really satisfied. I'm actually shocked, to be honest.
So I knew the 3-point contest was going to be good just because of all the names were in it. I knew Damian Lillard would put on a show, as he did. Buddy Hield, previous winner, so I was excited to see what he did. There was a lot of young talent. I was surprised Kevin Huerter. I know he had a really rough stretch before the break. He was shooting the ball really poorly. But I thought he could, get on a hot streak.
Yeah, he started the season really hot.
8 points. That was not great. But yeah. The dunk contest is what I really want to talk about because... Man, I thought this might have been the worst lineup of names for the dunk contest I've ever seen. You have a G Leaguer and Mac McClung, who surprised, I think, all of us. He earned a two-way contract with that dunk.
Yeah.
Jericho Sims, who I thought was going to win that dunk contest, which is with how high he gets up, but his creativity was terrible.
That was so bad. That's like literally all I really want to talk about for this segment is just trashing Jericho Sims and his like.
That
dunk
was
attempts.
The worst thing I've ever seen.
And
two
then, like,
honey dips.
Oh, every
and then
single
he can't
time.
Even open the note.
Yeah, and like he tries like first like what was that his second or last
Your second.
Dunk? Yeah, he like tries to open the letter which has the 50, which is what he was trying to score.
And
he was trying
to
give himself. It
rips the envelope.
Yeah, can't even open the letter. Just rips the number. It just looks really bad. But I thought Trey Murphy. I actually had
Trey Murphy really did good.
That was actually my pick going into the contest.
Really?
I just thought the way he had like sneaky bounce and mm-hmm. he's also just really long, which kind of makes some dunks look cool for like a windmill or like a reverse cradle or something. So he was my pick going into it. KJ Martin, I just think is an in-game dunker.
Yeah,
and I think he kind of proved that.
He didn't really have any creativity, I don't
yeah.
think.
Yeah, and plus he's also didn't like hit a lot of dunks on the first attempt, which also made it, which is also like.
That was the problem with last year's dunk contest. It's just everyone would fail.
And I think a lot of people hate that, but I'm actually – and Shaq's actually a big person. He speaks on it. It's like, if you don't make it on the first attempt, then why are we giving you a 50? And
true,
I kind of
yeah.
have to agree with that. It's just because there is an element of surprise and, like, if you get it on the first time. Like, you know, but, I wasn't too mad at it. Matt McClung had the winner, obviously, had some great dunks. I did not expect him to do, like, a little – like 540, almost like a 720.
Oh, that was
insane. That was ridiculous. I was not expecting that. Him dunking over two people and then hitting the backboard. Like, it seems like every single dunk he kind of took back from years past and kind of meshed two and two together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just a lot of creativity and the execution was perfect on his part.
So Mac McClung, I think, is just – it's pretty funny how the one guy that's not in the NBA won the dunk contest.
Yeah.
But some names that I would love to see – I saw a dunk last night, Chris Boucher, who basically took off from the free throw line, it would be pretty cool to see him in there. I feel like he has that length where he could probably
yep.
do a lot more than just other people with bounce. But I would also really love to see, of course, Zion or Ja,
the
big names, but I don't think they would do it. But Matisse Thybulle. He's got surprise bounce.
That'd be an interesting pick. That would be kind of interesting. I just know from watching Sixers.
Yeah, Sixers games. I know he has insane bounce. So that would be really cool to see. Maybe a Vanderbilt or a McDaniels, because I know all three of those have insane bounce.
I kind of want to see what's that young fella's name? Shaedon Sharpe from the Blazers.
Shaedon Sharpe. He was supposed to be in there.
Yeah, I didn't understand why he wasn't in there. That's a little questionable to me. I would also like to see some of these the rookie on Dallas, Hardy.
Jeff Hardy?
Yeah, I would like to see him do a little bit of something. That would have been kind of cool. I think there's a lot of guys. I mean, even though, like, I know, obviously, like, being a fan, we want some of the big names to come. But, like, that's the problem nowadays is you're not having anyone paying attention to these things because you're not having big names in the game, like, in these small, like, little contests. Like, that's the thing. Compared to the dunk contest back in the day, like, everyone was tuning in for the Dwight Howards and, like, the Vince Carters. Like
you had dunk contests that featured Michael Jordan.
Right. Dominique Wilkins. It went to... For three years in a row, right? It was, like, back and forth, and then he got injured, and then they finally settled it. And it's, like, that's what people were looking forward to back then.
Like back in the day, it's been Hall of Famer, all big names going against each other. Now it's role players and G-leaguers, and it's losing its it factor.
That's what I'm saying. It's, like, I think – and one of the things that made the Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon dunk contest so special is because it was so unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
It was so unexpected because you didn't have the big names. Like, Zach LaVine was, like, on his way on becoming a big name. He wasn't the household name he is now. But just, like – I don't know. I think Stephen A. Smith brought up a point of LeBron ruining the dunk contest because he said he was going to do it in 2010, mm-hmm. and then he just like lied out of his mouth and then didn't do it. He wasn't injured or anything, so he literally just didn't do it. But I mean, the last great name to probably do it. Recently we've had Donovan Mitchell, Zach LaVine. Giannis did it when he was a rookie. Paul George did it when he was a rookie.
I'm looking at it right now. That Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon dunk contest, Giannis Antetokounmpo was also in that dunk contest.
Was it? Yeah, I know he was.
So,
I know Giannis.
Looking back at it now, that's like three all-stars.
That's why you love Giannis, though, because he's like, he's going to do it. And, like, Dame Lillard, he even did it, I'm pretty sure. He's done every single event because he's like, I might as well.
That 1 year, he did it. He did Rising Star, he did the Skills Challenge, he did three-point, he did dunk. And he did All-Star.
I think he – did he win the dunk out of all those?
I can't.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But you see all these stars, and, like, those aren't even, like, dunkers. Like, you know, like, Dame Lillard's not, like, a dunker.
He has sneaky bounce, but, yeah, he's not like a guy, hey, you want to dunk? Exactly. Hey, Dame, go out there and dunk the ball.
And so I just think we got to start getting some of these, like – I'm not saying they have to be like primetime stars like a Kevin Durant or something.
Oh yeah.
But like maybe these up and coming stars, like maybe there's some incentive that we can do. Like Ja Morant should be in the
Durant. He should definitely be on there.
Yeah, so I don't know what I don't know why he wouldn't. I don't know. But John Wall like did it.
Yeah.
He Dougie. That's how he got his brand out there for like literally like for Dougie, so I don't know. This is a good spotlight to have. Blake Griffin Kia too.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's move to the 3-point contest and think about some people because I'm looking at this, and Julius Randle was in 3-point contest, which
you saw his kid's reaction. You saw his son's reaction.
I don't know why he was in there to begin with.
Just a big man. They just wanted to throw a big man in there. I'm sure.
I get that, but throwing Miles Turner, who's shooting better, but
yeah. Did just hit what 8 threes the other night? I guess in a loss to who did they play? The Pacers just. Wait, someone, I forget who they just played, but they lost, and Miles Turner hit, like, a career-high 8 threes, I think.
Recently? They played the Jazz.
Yeah, it was the Jazz.
Monday, February 13th.
You're right, because Lauri Markkanen had that poster. I forgot on who it was, but that was a... Speaking of the dunk, like, Lauri Markkanen should have been in the dunk contest
Lauri Markkanen's been postering a lot of people recently.
Yeah, he's also got someone that's got, like, sneaky bounce. But also, he was also in the 3-point contest, going back to the 3-point contest.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing too impressive, but, I mean...
He was there. I guess you could say that.
Yeah, I mean...
Nothing crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad he was there, because ever since, like, making the All-Star team, he's been balling. We'll get more into that later, but you got to be proud of Lauri Markkanen. I mean, especially to rep the hometown Jazz.
Oh, yeah. So, we're going to move on from All-Star Weekend. And we got our first action last night. And I just want to talk about some of the storylines that we are getting back from, like Russell Westbrook going to the Clippers, moving across the street. How do you think that will pan out?
So, if you're the Clippers, this is obviously kind of a risk. But to me, I'm going to say it's not really a risk.
I like it a lot.
Right. I do, too. And I think it just goes because... I think whenever you play with LeBron, no excuse to LeBron. Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not trying to start anything with LeBron stands or anything out there. But every single player that you've, like, star player, you've heard, like, there's always been, like, it's difficult playing with LeBron. And Russell Westbrook was now not – he wasn't just the second star. He was the third star. And yeah. I don't think he's ever been in that position before. Mm-hmm. And it was so bad that they had to make him come off the bench. And, like, even that I still feel like he struggled with. But you look at – before that, the Wizards – Bradley Beal had his best year ever,
yeah.
his career high. The year before that, Paul George had his career highs with alongside Russell Westbrook. I'm sorry, I don't know what just happened there.
It's all good.
But so I think he's going to bring some a little bit of stability to the Clippers, and especially if they can stay healthy, this team's going to be scary to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how they try to figure it out, but I think Ty Lue could figure that out.
Yeah, I think he's going to do. He's going to be a lot easier because there's more. I want to say there's more. I don't know how you would put that, more stability within that team and organization. Like, there's more accountability.
Yeah, accountability for sure.
I mean, you have, like, Paul George and Kawhi who are not really there to mess around. None of them are chasing individual awards or accolades. You got a team that's willing to win. You got – it's actually a really deep roster, in my opinion. I think their guards are – were kind of iffy before they signed them since they traded Reggie Jackson and John Wall, but you got Bones Highland, who's a great scorer off the bench.
Eric Gordon.
You got.
It's been huge for them too.
It's Terrence Mann, right? I like Terrence Mann a lot.
Mason Plumlee's also been huge.
Getting Mason Plumlee, I think, was a big pickup because that's just two great bigs, I think, coming on the floor at the same time.
And he's also just like he's an enforcer / like hustle player too, which every team needs.
And he can also playmake. Like, yeah. He can playmake.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I think that team is going to look really good with Westbrook on the floor.
I think the Clippers and the Nuggets probably have the best depth in the NBA right now.
The Celtics too.
Celtics have good depth.
I think the Celtics have great depth.
But I feel like they still are, like, Luke Kormet, I think his name is, their backup center.
Yeah.
He doesn't play a lot of minutes, but I still think that's a weakness if you're playing, like, Embiid and when it comes to
the playoffs. He is a weakness, but I think it's injuries.
Okay. I
think he's playing because of injuries with Robert Williams.
And Al Horford, yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. But other than that, yeah, I like the move for Westbrook to the Clippers. I think
it'll
be good.
Speaking of Westbrook moving across the street, let's move across the street to the Lakers. Do you think – I think we briefly talked about their moves over the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And I think so far I like what I'm seeing with this team and D'Lo. I know he just suffered an injury last night, but –
yeah, unfortunate too. He just was taking the ball out and just stepped on someone's ankle. I think it was DiVincenzo's. Dante DiVincenzo's. Yeah, I think
DiVincenzo,
that's who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who it was.
But I think it's tough losing him right now because I feel like all these games are must win since they're so down, so far back in the standings.
I think they're the 12th seed right now.
I think they're 13th.
They're either the 12th or
they're the 13th right now.
So they technically do have to, like, just win here on out and just to try to make it. But, like, here's the thing. I think LeBron's going to be more, like, angry if his legacy gets, like, determined by him not making the postseason 2 years in a row. I think that's really going to say something for him, like, egotistic, like mentally. Like, I feel like that's going to hurt his pride and ego a little bit, and he's not going to let that happen. I just feel like LeBron's still going to – I think LeBron might tap into prime LeBron for, like, a stretch and just try to drag this team and get burnt out doing it, but I wouldn't be surprised. Never count – if there's one thing I've learned is just never count on LeBron, especially if he's just, like, you know, angry at something. But the moves that they made for the Lakers team, D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, Jaren Vanderbilt, Mo Bamba, Roy Hachimura, this team is just like a whole new team. A lot more depth. I think the spacing's better.
Their spacing is a lot better. Yeah. After a couple games I'm seeing, their spacing is like 10 times better.
Yeah, and I think now that LeBron doesn't have to go for that scoring record, I think like they're just playing all – I think they're all playing on the same page now kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the locker room's just a lot better.
I agree. I think you can tell the locker room is a lot like closer.
Yeah.
Just because the roster flip that they had,
it's a lot of players.
It shows them that they want to win.
Yeah.
Because if they would have just stayed pat, then I feel like it still would have been like, oh, man, maybe this doesn't seem like the year.
And, like, I'm not choosing them to win a playoff series, but I can definitely see them making the play-in and then and like something. But I don't think they're going to be like advancing around or anything.
So another move. So, you know, buyout season's is upon us.
Yeah, we had a lot of buyouts.
A lot of buyouts.
Yeah. So what was your favorite move?
I honestly think, you know, we could go with Beverly to the Bulls. Reggie Jackson to the Nuggets is very underrated.
I think that's a huge for them because I already thought they were the team to beat. And I think now that – like I'm saying, like I said, I think I mentioned this last week. Jamal Murray looks like he's back in all-star. Like he's slowly getting back to that all-star form. He is cooking.
Is he an all-star though?
I mean, like I'm saying before he went down and tore his ACL, he was an all-star. But I was saying it looks like he's getting back to that trajectory to where he was like in the bubble, like kind of just
– in the bubble, I feel like he couldn't really miss.
Which was kind of everyone, but but like
TJ Warren,
But I think he's been good for them. I think Reggie Jackson's gonna be a steal.
So my favorite buyout, it's Terrence Ross going to the Suns.
See, I
think the Suns don't have a lot of depth. So
I don't
any talent that comes into the Phoenix,
it's gonna be huge for them.
It's just bumpy. It's just making them that much more scary.
All right. Well, if you're arguing from that standpoint, then I'm 100% with you. But if you're just, if I'm just looking at some to the if Ross to the Suns, then I'm not really like. I mean, like, you look at the Magic now, who are actually winning now. That's actually why they probably let him go too, because he just doesn't fit what their plans. And plus, he was supposed to be like this 3-and-D guy. He's not really like that 3-and-D guy anymore. He's kind of like your J.R. Smith when he like it's kind of like cold for a little bit, and then he'll just randomly catch fire.
You need that playoff.
So I understand what you're saying there. I think the big rumor for them though is going to be Derrick Rose coming in.
That would be really good.
Because that gives them another playoff vet. Someone can give you like a couple of minutes and just take the balls out of Chris Paul's hands and like you know not have to, that way he can save his like legs. So. It'd be interesting. I don't know. I'm still not big on the Suns, but we can get into that later for when we get to the to our playoff predictions.
I kind of see why, but the Suns, I think the Suns are a really, really, I don't want to say deep, but talented roster now with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they are. Like, they probably have the two best scorers, arguably. Two of the top five best scorers. Devin Booker's definitely at the top.
Maybe when he's feeling it.
I mean, like, we can talk about this real quick because we got a lot of time.
Yeah, no. let's talk about Devin Booker.
Cause
the thing about Devin Booker, because Kevin Durant, there's no.
It's Kevin. In my opinion, it's Kevin Durant, right? Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid second, because I don't think there's anyone. I think he's the most dominant player. And then I'm probably going to have to put third, you're probably going to have to put, like, you can put a lot of players. Like you,
exactly. Devin Booker's not top five.
Are you putting Curry? I guess we count Curry.
Yeah, we're counting Curry.
Okay, then maybe I'll put Curry above Embiid. Like, hang on now.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Curry changed. Like, I mean, just out of respect, I might have to do that. But I think Joel Embiid is definitely just like one on one. Embiid's gonna crush you.
I think Embiid is the most Curry, unstoppable player right now, just with his size.
Yeah, that's
and,
what I'm
like,
saying.
Touch.
He's literally like Shaq, but with footwork.
I think he's one, honestly.
I mean, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Because I don't think – I've been saying that for, like, a little bit because I don't think there's anyone that can stop him.
I think he is the most unstoppable player.
You see that because every time he touches the ball, he gets double-teamed within 10 – like, not 10 seconds, like 2 seconds. Like, every time he touches the ball, double-team. He doesn't have time.
And he still finds a way to drop 40.
That's what I'm saying. And so, yeah, I'm fine with that. I mean, like, yeah, LeBron's not up there anymore. We're taking him off, right? Because LeBron's just at that point where, like – He's still that guy,
he's
a vintage.
He's not there anymore,
right.
I don't think.
I don't think he puts fear in anybody's heart anymore.
But I'm taking Luka over Devin Booker with ease.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm taking Kevin Durant, Luka, Curry.
Embiid. That's four, right?
Embiid. Call me crazy, but I'm taking Paul George over him.
I'm not taking Paul George.
I'm taking Paul George.
I'll take Jason Tatum over him.
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I'm taking both over him. Giannis.
Jaylen Brown is very underrated. I'll give you that. Giannis, I don't know. Are you, like, in terms of getting buckets? I mean, Giannis
straight
gets buckets.
Buckets.
But I'm talking about, like, skill set.
Okay. If we're doing skill set, then
yeah.
I would say
that's
Devin
why. That's why I just don't count Giannis.
I would say Harden.
But he's not anymore.
Did you see last night?
He balled out. I know, but that's like what I'm talking about. That's like a vintage performance, kind of.
You could also throw
when we were like talking about LeBron, but
Donovan Mitchell.
Hey, put up 71. It's hard to argue.
Like, Devin Booker's not up there.
But
I don't
Devin
think.
Booker put up 71 when he was 3 years in the
and
league.
And lost.
Yeah, but he still put
lost.
Up. But it was against the number one East, the
if
Celtics
you put up
team in the
70,
East.
You shouldn't lose. You shouldn't lose.
But, like, that's, like, but it's against the number one team in the East. He's the only, he's like the youngest person on his team, and he's the only one scoring. That's like, that's, you got to give him some credit.
Okay, we can give him some credit, but that's just, hey, get the ball and go score. Let's not play any defense whatsoever.
Against the number one team in the East, like the Isaiah Thomas, healthy, IT Celtics.
I can't give him too much credit if you lose dropping 70.
I mean, yeah, no one likes to hear about someone bragging while losing. I'll give you that. But I don't know. I'll give them respect. But all right, it's a good argument. I'll give you that. There's a lot of good names out there. I'm not taking Paul George, though.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
So we will be right back from break. This is 90.7 The Capstone, the student section.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to 90.7 The Capstone. This is the student section, and I'm your host, Connor Rolls. So, let's get back to what we were talking about. We were talking about, you know, the NBA standings, just top five scores, stuff like that. But it's about time for that home stretch.
This is the part where it actually matters. So
all the games matter now. And we could tell last night with the Sixers Grizzlies game. It felt like a playoff game in the second half, that comeback. We also look back at the OKC Jazz game where it went into overtime, thriller. That was a great game. But now we have to worry about playoff standings.
Yeah.
So we made our list for our playoff predictions, including play-ins. So Jalen, let's hear yours.
Okay. Before I get started with that standings real quick, I just want to ask you, those two games last night, which one was the better game? Because both of those were pretty both amazing games.
So I think I didn't actually tune in to the Jazz game. I just saw like that. Like, I just kept tapping in on my phone.
Right.
And it looked like a great game.
It was literally just a back and forth between Shea and Larry Markkanen. But it was like a classic primetime battle.
The thing I have to mention is, The Jazz and the Thunder are both bottom tier teams in the West. The Sixers and the Grizzlies are both top two and top three teams in their respective conferences. So I have to give it to that.
Yeah.
17-point comeback with both teams fighting for the number one spot in the playoffs.
Yes, you mean Sixers coming back from 17 points.
Yes.
10-1, it was in the fourth, 10-1 run in the fourth.
10-1 to close the fourth.
And then Joel with a game clinching block to
six blocks.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you know what's crazier? The Utah OKC Thunder game, Walker Kessler clinched the
seven
game.
Seven blocks, right?
Yeah, right. And he clinched the game with a block like kind of similar to Joel. So, yeah, it's just kind of crazy.
Crazy.
But I'm going to answer your question, about the standings. So starting with the East, as of right now, it's going to be – I'm going to tell you where I get a little iffy. But right now, I think the Celtics are going to lose that number one seed.
You think so, really?
Yeah, I think the Bucks are going to win it. I especially think when Brooke gets back, because I'm pretty sure Brooke Lopez has been out of the lineup for a little bit. Giannis is out dealing with some injuries. I just feel like the team's a little banged up. But that team is like just kind of keeping afloat. I think now that we're in the home stretch, you're going to see them really put the gas to, pedal to the metal. So I just think they're going to pick it up. I think Celtics are, something tells me the Celtics are, like, right there, but I don't feel like they're there yet. Like,
they're so close.
Yeah. But
yet so far away.
Some feels like they're just missing, and I don't know, like, it's something that I alluded to, like, because we talked about the injuries, and maybe that's why I'm seeing it. Maybe it's because I just really don't like Luke Kormet, but I just feel like they're not there yet, and I feel like they're still beatable when I watch them. I don't know, but they're still a scary team. They can catch fire at any point.
But before you go on, I just want to I think you have a point, but I still think they're the deepest team in the NBA. No Tatum, no Brown, no Smart, and no Horford, and they still went to overtime against the Bucks in Milwaukee. So I just want to throw it out there.
I know what you're saying, and then beginning of the season, I had Malcolm Brogdon as my sixth man of the year. I think I think now that Russell Westbrook's gone, there's still a good chance of him winning it. But
I think if Russell Westbrook would have stayed on the Lakers, I think he had a really good chance of making it.
But I don't know. I just, like I said, the Celtics, I got them at two. Third, I'm going to still go with the 76ers. It just always feels like the Sixers never are the number one seed, like, honestly, ever, since I've been watching them. I think last year was, or 2 years ago.
2 years ago. We were the one seed.
Yeah, that's the only time. And even then, when we were the one seed,
it didn't really feel like it.
Yeah, it didn't. I was like, this team is probably still, like, not fully there. This feels like the best team they've ever had.
Oh, without a doubt.
And they're only the third seed. But, like, they're still putting it together. And I think a big part of that is P.J. Tucker's been really good for them now. He's starting to, like, he was a little slow at first.
He's starting to actually shoot the ball.
Yeah, he's starting to come together to hit those corner shots. And I think defensively he's been huge because he's been saying one thing he stays everybody's, like, case on is communication, because everyone on that locker room is so quiet, which is kind of surprising because, you know, Joel's, like, well, now that he's had a kid, he's toned it down a little bit. But you would think that Joel's a little bit more vocal, but, I mean, that's what you want to see out of, like, an off-season addition to P.J. Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you bring him in. Number four, you got the Cavs. I mean, they're rolling. I still think they're figuring things out. They're missing a wing. Like, they're missing a rotational wing, like a 3-and-D player. I really think that's the only thing they're missing. I think they have, like, Jared Allen. You know how we were talking about top five centers the other day? I think Jared Allen's a top
You think
five.
So?
I think so.
I feel like that's kind of debatable.
I just think, like, he's not your typical center.
I think his skill set is limited to a degree.
But I think he's so – I want to say it's not limited, but I think, like, he just plays his role really well.
That's – yeah.
I also think he's just a great person to come to for a quote. I don't know if you heard his quote on the Kevin Love trade.
He was
what was your reaction to Kevin Love being traded? He was like, oh, I didn't know he got traded. He's like, all I know is he told me he was going to go get some cigs and some milk, and I hadn't seen him since. Like, I just think that's a great quote. So shout out to Jared Allen for that quote. But I think the Cavs are, like, I think they're not that far away. I think I feel like for years to come they're going to be scary, especially if
I can see that
if they keep their depth, like, on that bench with Caris LeVert and, like, scorers like that. I think that's going to be a tough team. Then a fifth, I'm just going to keep it simple, Knicks, Heat at six. I think you could flip those. I actually probably would flip those now that I think about it, just because I think with Kevin Love being added to the Heat and them getting some more some depth in their front court, I think they're going to be fine. I trust Eric Spoelstra.
So you're saying Heat five and Knicks six?
Yeah, just because I'm going to go with Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley before I go with Knicks and James Dolan and all that organization. Mm-hmm. And then right now, seventh, I have the Raptors. I feel like not a lot of teams are talking about the Raptors. Yes, they've been terrible, and a lot of people thought they were selling at the deadline, but it turns out they were buyers. They actually made a huge trade, an underrated trade for Jacob Poeltl coming from the Spurs. I forget what they get up. I'm going to have to search that up real quick. But, like, it's been a steal for them. Like, the last two games, he had 21 and 18. Which is just huge. And then, like, the game before that, he hit 30 and 9. So that just goes to show you how much he's been meaning for them ever since he's came over. I think he's been a huge addition. Now, this is where it just gets iffy. You can literally just put these teams whatever you want. Wizards, Pacers, and Hawks. I got them all going in the plan. Wizards, just because of the Wizards. Pacers, I'm taking the Pacers because I really am a fan of Tyrese Halliburton. I think everyone's bought in. And I think they're going to make it. I'm going to take them above the Hawks. And I know the Hawks are just now hiring Quinn Snyder, which is going to be huge for them because I really think Quinn Snyder is a great coach. But I just hate Trae Young in terms of just, like, its leadership abilities because I just don't feel like he has any. So that's a hot take. But
that's I can see that.
Yeah, but I know I went on my little rant there, but that's who I have for the East. Who do you have for the East?
So my East, I disagree with your number one spot. I think the Celtics are going to keep the number one spot. I think they've just been great all year. They're just going to keep going.
Yeah, they're on a mission. It reminds me of the Spurs when they lost to the Heat, and then they came back and just literally, you know, just killed everybody.
So, but two is where it gets interesting. The Sixers are only two games back from the Bucks, so and the Bucks are suffering a couple injuries right now.
Right.
Giannis with that wrist injury, that's going to be a little worrisome. I have the Sixers overtaking the Bucks for the 2 seed, and then the Bucks for the 3 seed. I have the Cavs the 4 seed, and then I have the Heat the 5 seed, you know, just for the Kevin Love. And I think they're going to pick up, I heard, maybe one more guard
Do you know who they try to target?
I can't remember who they were trying to target. I just know they were looking at another guard.
Maybe like Derrick Rose or something. I don't know.
They might be looking at Derrick Rose. I think they need another guard.
Yeah.
And then I got Knicks at 6. I got Hawks at 7.
You like the Hawks? The Hawks are a weird team to me.
The Hawks are weird, but I think
John Collins on that team too.
I think Quinn Snyder is going to be a really good pickup for them. I don't think they had a. I think Quinn Snyder is a really good defensive coach.
But that's one thing, they don't have like any defensive players.
Clint Capella can play defense. Well, DeJounte Murray can play defense.
I forgot. DeJounte Murray is like probably the only person that can really play defense.
I do agree that Trae Young is iffy. I think he gets too self-conceited sometimes with just trying to draw fouls and just doing his own game.
But I think Quinn Snyder is going to be huge for Hunter, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do, too. DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I have Hawks at 7. At 8, I have the Raptors with Jakob Poeltl. And Pascal Siakam's been playing out of his mind. Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, Chris Boucher, who we mentioned that dunk before. I think they are a really deep team. They just haven't really put it together this year.
Yeah.
I think they'll make the play.
I think it's that big man, like I said. I think that steal's going to be huge for them.
Yeah, because that's when they had Marc Gasol, and they were still like that. 9, I have the Nets. I think the Nets are going to drop a little bit from 5 just because they don't have any star talent. They're really deep. They're really deep.
They're
don't
a
get
weird
me wrong.
Team for me, but I feel like Cam Johnson's going to have really start to break out from this trade.
Cam Johnson's
underrated.
Cam Johnson.
He went higher than most people thought in his draft, too, because, but I don't know. What you saw him do on that for the playoff series for the Suns, I feel like they can. There's something there.
There's something there, but I'm not quite sure yet. I just think they don't have any star power just yet. They're a really deep team.
I don't think he's a star. I think he's more like Tobias level.
He's worse than Tobias level.
I'm saying that's his ceiling.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Maybe, yeah. And then my last spot for the play-in is going to be the Bulls. I think there's just too much talent on that roster, especially with getting Patrick Beverley. There's just so much talent. Coaching wise, roster wise, there's no way you're gonna not make the playoffs play-in.
I just hate the Bulls. I'm off that train.
Really?
Just, yeah. I just I think this team needs to rebuild, in my opinion. Like it's like I don't really know like what their plan is in the offseason because you have DeMar DeRozan, he's not getting like any younger. You have Nikola Vucevic that you're probably gonna have to trade.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine, I don't even know. Like I think that's kind of the problem from all reports. Sounds like most of the issues are between him and the coach, Donovan. I'm blanking on his last name.
Billy Donovan.
Oh, that was his last name. I was thinking blanking on his first name. I don't know. I think you just got to rebuild. You have a new, like, you're only 2 years into like your new front office, right? So why don't you just try to rebuild it from scratch? And I don't know. Bulls basketballs are not fun to watch. Like, when they had Lonzo, they were fun to watch. That's also what's killing them.
Yeah, no Lonzo. It's hard for them.
Yeah, you can tell. There's not they're not moving the ball.
It's kind of a stagnant offense.
Yeah, it's not fun to watch.
So what's your West?
My West? Now, this is kind of interesting as well. Before I go to the West, just one last thing. I want to make a shout-out to the Magic. I know they're not going to make the play-in. But people need to start paying attention to the Magic because the Magic basketball is finally back. And
finally back when they have –
I mean, they were
they're
in the playoffs.
Under 500.
I mean, they were in the playoffs, like, what, not too long. I meant, like, playoff basketball-wise, but, I mean, they were in the playoffs against Kawhi when Toronto won.
I love you said they're back in the 13th seed.
Yeah, I know, but, like, I meant, like, you know how we said the Kings? Like, early in the season, I said the Kings are kind of back. I kind of see, like, competitive basketball is what I meant. So,
okay, competitive basketball.
Yeah, so they're playing competitive basketball, and, like, you would think the weakness on the Magic is probably what position? Probably, like, the point guard position, right?
Yeah.
But Markelle Fultz has been balling. He's been a better draft pick than Ben Simmons right now.
Oh,
without a doubt. Which is so funny. He's had a crazy career. I know he lost a shot and then he got injured towards ACL. But, like, literally, he is, like, a bright spot for that team. What he's been able to do, his passing vision has gone up. His shot is back. He's playing defense. So, like, what's one of the things he went, like, number one for just because he's got that long wingspan?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see him back.
Yeah, it looks. It's just like, you know, you can tell he's really engaged and he's having fun out there. And I think it's going to be interesting what happens, because I think they're going to target Fred VanVleet in free agency. So it'd be interesting, like, what kind of combination they do. I think they're totally out on Jalen Suggs. I just think he doesn't meet their timeline. I think they're going to trade him.
I haven't seen Jalen Suggs doesn't really play like that.
Exactly. It's like he doesn't fit what they're trying to build. So it's going to be. I think you might hear him as in some trade rumors coming up this offseason, just because they're winning without him. And, like, you have Cole Anthony, like, as your, like, backup point guard. He's balling. And you look at the rest of the makeup of this team, everyone's just long and, like, just long and athletic. And Jalen Suggs is not really that, like, long. But, look, you got Paolo. He's got a long wingspan, tall. Jonathan Isaac, he's finally getting healthy. But, like, I know it's been a couple years, but he meets, like, that long wingspan. Both Wagner brothers, who are both kind of underrated for their positions and what they bring to the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I really like
Yeah, they're both
doing.
Long as well. And then Wendell Carter, who's a big pickup from the Bulls, as we were just talking about, which is another question I don't really know, understand why they traded him away. But, just shout out to the Masket Magic. I just wanted to give them a shout out because I feel like no one ever really talks about them, but they are balling, and they're going to be, give them like probably another 2 years, they're going to be like a good contending, not contending, but good playoff team.
So let's hear the West.
So for the West, Nuggets, I think they're the team to beat. They're number one. I don't know if the Grizzlies are going to stay number two, just because I'm not a huge fan of the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. Like, just there's so much going on. I actually heard a funny tweet about AJ Brown saying something about Ja Morant. I just I'm trying to remember the quote, but if I can remember it, I'll say it. But number three, I actually put the Suns there.
So you have the Grizzlies keep saying it too?
So yeah, I have the Grizzlies just saying it too, just because I'm not a huge fan of them, but I just don't see a reason to move them down right now. Because I think there's a lot more questions than answers for the rest of the teams that I'm about to mention. The Suns, I have number three, just because that depth is still a question. I actually do want to put the Clippers at number three, but the only reason I'm putting them at four is just because of the health and them acquiring Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions there. Mavs, Kyrie Irving, Luka, I like that combination. I've been high on the Kings, and I'm still going to keep the Kings in the playoffs. I think they're going to be six. I do think they're going to fall back. They are the third seed right now, but I only think they're only, like, two games ahead from, like, the sixth seed or something. Yeah. So it's not by a lot, but I think they're still going to make it. And plus, because shout-out to De'Aaron Fox. I think Brady mentioned this last week. I know he's not here right now, but shout-out to Brady as well. But he mentioned last week how De'Aaron Fox is the league-leading scorer in fourth quarter clutch points. So I think that's not going to stop. Now, 7 through 10 is where it gets interesting. I'm just going to go Lakers. Golden State, Pelicans, I think you could switch them out. It really depends on the injuries. That's why I say you could swap them out. Then I'm going to go Jazz, and then I'm going to go Timberwolves for my last team.
Okay, so for my teams, I'm gonna keep the Nuggets at one. There's no reason to switch it. I think they're a really solid, deep team.
Jokic is locked for MVP. I don't think there's any debate. I really don't.
Well, we can definitely debate that.
Yeah,
but
we can get to that later.
Clippers at two. I think Clippers are going to move up to two. I think
they're rolling.
They're rolling, and I think they just added so much more pieces that I can't really hate on them.
I wasn't a fan, but like Kawhi's back. Kawhi Leonard is back.
I have the Grizzlies moving down to three.
Okay.
I have the Suns at four. I think with all the talent they get, they're going to move up a little bit. Kings move down to five. I feel like they're at such – like I think it was the Bulls last year. The Bulls were the three seed for the longest time, and no one expected them to be that good. And they just eventually just fell down to, like, the sixth seed.
Yeah.
So I think it's there's going to be a – brick wall that hits them that tells you you're not just there yet.
It's funny. We both agree it's Mavs at five. That's kind of funny.
No. Mavs at six.
Oh, you're saying six. Okay, I misheard you.
Yeah, Kings at five and Mavs at six.
Oh, okay.
Timberwolves, seven.
Really? You like the Timberwolves?
I do. I think
I like Anthony Edwards.
I like Anthony Edwards. I think Mike Conley was a good addition, more of a pass-first point guard. I still don't like Rudy Gobert.
I do like how you're kind of seeing the Timberwolves be like, okay, we found the guy. This is who we're boating around. Carl Anthony Towns, I think it's going to get – one of them's going to get moved for a year, Carl Anthony Towns.
I think Rudy out of more than Cat.
I think it's going to be Cat. I really do. But keep going.
Eight is Lakers. I think the Lakers will find a way because there's not a lot of games back that's separating from them. I have Warriors at nine. Thunder at 10. The Thunder are playing great basketball right now. Josh Giddey's looking.
I'm not mad at that. Josh Giddey looks great.
Shea looks great.
Yeah.
Jalen Williams looks great.
But who else do you trust on that team?
Those three. But that's why I'm saying there's not a lot of games separating them.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm just saying, like, without Shea, if Shea goes down, they have no chance.
Oh, I mean, that's like saying if LeBron goes down, the Lakers have no chance.
I mean, they have a chance because of Anthony Davis. You know, and D'Angelo Russell's not, like, you know, and they have depth.
I guess, yeah.
Compared to the, but, like, I see what point you're making, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. We'll see. Okay, so Shea deserves much more credit, but I respect that, yeah.
So we're going to go to break, and when we get back, we're going to finish up talking about the NBA. This is 90.7 The Capstone. See you in a second.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. This is the student section on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm your host, Connor Rolls, and let's get back into some more NBA talk. So, after what we've seen so far this season, anything you want to talk about special?
Well, special... It's funny you say special, because Nikola Jokic is having a special year. And I know we talk about this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. He's already locked up his third. He's going to be the third player.
I don't know.
He's going to break history. He's going to be third player since Larry Bird to win three straight MVPs. I really have no words for it because this is really insane. Literally, they're the number one team in the West. He's averaging a triple-double. And as a center position, what do you think? Like, I'm asking you, what do you think is the hardest stat to get as a center?
Oh. As a center, it's so honestly, I think everyone's going to say assists, but I think assists could be kind of easy for centers if you get the ball and everyone crowds you. You just throw the ball out. And I think more assists are more on the playmakers around them.
Right, and like scorers around them.
Yeah, because you could throw the ball to a wide open player, but if he misses it, you're not going to get it. So it's not going to count on the stat sheet. And you could just hit him for like a easy layup that's a pass that you need to make. And he'll get it. But you could say triple-double, so cool for him. But I think there's going to be voter fatigue there.
I just – but that's
it happened to LeBron. It happened to Steph Curry.
I just think this is – I don't know. Because, like, which year are we talking about? Because you're talking about – like, if you're talking about the Derrick Rose year where he – like, Derrick Rose won MVP, I'll give you that year.
Even Kobe Bryant.
I mean, I'll give you that one too. But I'm not giving you – I mean, like, if you're talking about, like, which – do you think he won any? Should have won any MVPs after his last one? Because there's obviously he could have won that 2013 one.
No, yeah, that 2013 one's the one I'm talking about.
Who won in that year? I can't remember. I can't remember. I'm trying to think on top of my head because I know he really won a Defensive Player of the Year, but that went to Marc Gasol, and that was the only
2013
award.
Was LeBron, so it wasn't that one.
It was like the next one, 2014. It's like when they lost to the Spurs, right?
I think so. I know it was Kevin Durant. It was one of them.
Oh, okay. Well, that's. I mean, like that one, Kevin Durant kind of deserved that too. I mean, like it's hard. It's hard. That was Kevin Durant's breakout year the year prior. I mean, meeting LeBron in the finals. I mean, and also that's another thing to my point too. Like Russell Westbrook, like was also number two option for one of KD's best years.
Yeah.
When he won MVP. So.
So I mean, I could see it. Triple doubles, all cool and all.
And, like, the thing is, but the reason I asked that stat, I mean, asked what do you think is the hardest, because I think the rebounding is kind of harder, because...
Rebounding is pretty difficult, because everyone's going straight to you first to box out.
And that's what I'm saying, and, like, Jokic, it's not like he's barely getting, like, double-double rebounds. He's getting boards, like he's, like, Rodman. Like, that's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't say that. I would not say that.
I mean, obviously, it's not, like, he's not doing it as much as, like, Dennis Rodman to, like, the Hall of Fame ability, but he is grabbing... these are not just, like... 9 or 9.5, 10 rebounds. I'm talking about like this guy's going like for like trying to get like 15. Like I'm saying that's how much he's like going for it right now. But yeah.
I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I don't wanna have any bias called through my name. It should be Joel Embiid's year though. Only reason I'm saying that is because he's again either leading the league or second in league in scoring. He's making play after play after play on the defensive side of the ball. He's improved his playmaking by an insane amount. His rebounding, he just had 19 rebounds last night, and he's, I think his rebounds are almost at a career high. You can't be not be tired of Nikola Jokic. You know what I'm saying?
I understand your fatigue because I'm tired of it. I am.
I think he deserves it.
I just think
but
he's
I think he's not going to get it because of voter fatigue.
I think he's going to get it. I think this is too crazy for him not to get it. I really and I think the media will eat this up because it's so crazy.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I just think and like to your point for Embiid, I think he's not going to win an MVP until he makes it out the second round. I think that's where the point is. I don't think the media really cares about the numbers.
But we're talking about not making the Nuggets can't do that though.
But that's what I think you've seen more out of them in the playoffs.
Have you? Because they didn't.
I mean, every time you see them in the playoffs, you're going to battles. Whether it's like seven double time overtime series
and losing
Blazers, but like they beat the. Did they beat the Clippers or did they lose to the Clippers? I can't remember.
They lost to the Clippers.
They lost to the Clippers, but they still put up a fight. Like it was like I think
it was
the
game six.
But that's what I'm saying. Like with you, always see them coming down to the wire. Though they always like scratch and claw to the wire. Like even that series with the Blazers, it was seven games and just multiple overtime games. Like it just never feels like. It never feels like when I watch the Nuggets games that they're just going to give up and die. To whereas sometimes when I watch the Sixers, they're just rolling over and like they give up. Because you know in the second half, the Sixers will just, I don't even know like what I'm watching sometimes. They'll just give up. It's mostly Doc's fault.
Actually, I saw this last night. The Sixers lead the NBA in wins after when you're losing at halftime with 13. So I mean I'm not.
That's very specific.
Exactly. When you're losing
by 13, but
no, it's not by 13. They have the most wins, which is 13 wins.
Oh, okay.
When you're trailing that half.
Okay.
Which it says a lot for me that.
I thought that was the Nuggets. I thought I read that was the Nuggets.
No, it's
because
not.
Who did the Nuggets just play the other night? Hang on, because the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets are also up there too.
They might be up there, but they. I remember on the TNT broadcast they said that. They were they lead the league in wins while they trail at halftime.
I remember that too, but I thought that was for the Nuggets because that's when they were losing to the Cavs and then they came back and won.
I think they're really close with each other, but
yeah, I think I want to say that one was for the Nuggets though. I'm pretty sure, but
it might have been before last night.
No, maybe, but either way. I think it's going to be.
I just don't see Nikola Jokic blocking Ja Morant like he did last night. But
that's not happening.
That's just me, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll give you that one. Defensively, it's nowhere close. I'll give you that. I honestly think.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't say most valuable player when he can't play defense like that. I know he can play a little bit of defense, but there's levels to this.
I mean, it's not like he's a terrible defender.
He's not terrible, but
he's not like.
You lick his chops when you see him. He'll poke.
Yeah, but I'm
he'll poke
saying,
the ball out every once in a while. But
he's really good at getting steals.
When you're a top offensive center, you see him guarding. You're like, oh man, I'm gonna have a career night.
But like, but I feel like we only have that criteria for a big man though. Like we're talking about a guard, then defense isn't really what we're talking about.
But when you look at a big man, you want an anchor.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's why it makes Jokic so different because he's
not an anchor.
He's an offensive anchor. That's literally what he is.
I mean, I guess you could say that.
That's what makes him so different.
All I know is I saw them play in person, and I saw Embiid. I saw Embiid drop, what was it, 42?
Yeah,
and Jokic dropped 18.
Embiid cooked him. I will say that. I'll give you that. And it's also, you never talked about it on the podcast, but how was that weekend in Philly?
So some of y'all that you don't know, I went to the weekend where it was Eagles 49ers, the NFC Championship game.
You were there in Philly.
I was in Philly for those games. I went to the Sixers Nuggets that Saturday, that day game.
What a just lucky weekend.
And then I went to Eagles 49ers NFC Championship game on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that was a crazy weekend. Yeah. One of the best weekends I've ever experienced.
Did you still bring home some of that confetti?
So the crazy thing is I had confetti that I brought home and I lost it in the airport. You've got to be kidding me. It was during security check-ins.
Oh, you know they snagged that.
Probably. I put it in my jacket and put it down. I got back, and it's nowhere to be found.
Someone snagged that and is trying to sell it for like $2 million.
that's pretty much what's going on.
But yeah, no, that weekend was insane, and seeing everything in like up close, I get a more respect.
What's one thing you noticed while watching both of them play? Because you saw both of them play up close.
So
what's like two,
the Nuggets and Sixers or the Eagles and Sixers?
Nuggets and Sixers.
So Nuggets and Sixers.
Eagles, I'm still hurting, so I can't talk about them right now.
I realized Embiid is the most unstoppable player in the league.
Yeah, okay.
Just with his size, with his shooting, with his defense,
ball handling,
it's everything. You look at him and he'll bully a player like Nikola Jokic all day long, get him in foul trouble, and then you put someone smaller on him and he'll go to work, move him out of the way like he just did, and then Nikola Jokic would come back out here and play like really like good defense, but not trying to foul anybody, and he hit him with a quick little jab step, pull up, and it's just, you can't guard him. And then you see him hit a sidestep three. But
oh yeah, he did hit a big.
Tyrese Maxey is insanely quick. James Harden is a tough shot maker and a great passer. I think that's the biggest thing with the Sixers is they have a lot of shot makers on that team. And the Nuggets, Jamal Murray and Jamal Murray is like really tough. He has a really deep bag. But the player I could not stop watching was Michael Porter Jr.
And that's something you hear a lot.
That's only because anytime he gets the ball, he has no A button.
He just pulls it.
He shoots anytime he touches the ball. And the crazy thing is, he makes all of them.
Okay, yeah.
He's highly efficient, and he doesn't pass the ball to save his life.
You know, a lot of people said his comparison was like Kevin Durant coming to the draft, but like obviously, like he's not like Kevin Durant, but he shoots that thing like he is. Like
it's hilarious to see because it was. I think they were coming down on a fast break, and he hits him. There's a guy cutting wide open. Right, there's two players that are like kind of watching Michael Porter Jr. and there's a defender, and he sees a guy cutting. He's like, oh, bet. Let me just pull up. And he pulls up and drains it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
No,
like,
no passing.
Make the smart play. Don't go for the points. And he goes for the points every time and makes it. And it's like, he keeps stroking that thing. And it's crazy.
I think he's a funny player. I mean, like,
he's fun to watch just because of that.
Yeah, I hope he can stay healthy. But I remember one of the big things, like, Damian Lillard called him out his rookie year. Remember when he was just like, he called out, like, his head coach, Mike Malone. He was like, I just don't get why you're not giving me the ball. like, pretty much is what he said.
He has, like, the ultimate green light, like, the biggest green light I've ever seen.
Yeah, I just, I remember when he was first coming out of like college, mm-hmm. and this is where he played like I think because he was injured, so he only played like 5 games.
Yeah, he barely played.
There's just this TikTok of him, and it wasn't even him focusing on the game. He was just shooting his shot with every female in the crowd, and it's just like the green light's always on for this guy. So I just think that's funny. I think those are my two takeaways so far of the season. I don't really know what else. I'm really keeping an eye on.
So, what I'm really keeping, I really want to see, because I know Devin Booker. I want to see how that team works out with Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, and Kevin Durant. I really want to see how that works out because they're wishy-washy right now. There's not a lot going on within the franchise. And, like, scoring, they can score the ball. Defense is, like, a little iffy. Not a lot of defenders on the court. They lost Jay Crowder, which I wonder how that's going to be on.
I think it's going to be still for the Bucks. Can I make a hot take with you? I know the NBA season's still underway, but this is going to be one of the biggest off seasons in a long time. I have that feeling.
I
think Damian Lillard is going to be gone.
No, Dame's staying.
Not like let me say like not gone, but I feel like it's going to get to the point to where the organization's going to try to make a push.
But they just signed him to a 2-year like. Fat contract.
I know, but I'm saying, but that still doesn't mean you can't get moved. I mean, just like, Damon's not going to want to go. But I think the front office from the Portland's going to try to say something, be like, okay, we have to rebuild. Because I also think Bradley Beal just had an interesting quote, too. He also said, you can't, like, the line, I can't quote it exactly. It's something about drawing a line in the sand. But basically, he's just saying the time's running out for the Wizards. So I think that's another name. Zach LaVine, I think, is another name. DeAndre Ayton's another name.
I do think Zach LaVine's going to get moved. So
yeah.
I think that team's going to be blown up this summer.
Yeah, I do, too. I think there's not much you can do. I think who knows what Kyrie's plan is. I really want Kyrie to stay.
That's going to be very interesting because he might go to Phoenix.
Right.
I've heard Phoenix and Kevin Durant that. I've heard Lakers with LeBron, and then he might just stay with Luka.
I hope he stays with Luka. Because I just want Luka to have some help. Because the thing is, they're actually balling really well together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like their depth, and like just some like small things. Like they're still starting to figure out their chemistry. But like, it's also just Dwight Powell. You can't start Dwight Powell.
Dwight Powell is one of those weird names where it's he will be the guy that wins you a game, but he will also be the guy that loses you a game just by his contributions alone.
Yeah,
he'll have one of those monster games with like. Luka would be off, or like Kyrie would be off, and he'd get rebounds and hit like those corner threes, and it's like, oh man, thank God he's on our team. And then the very next night, he's missing all the shots, he's getting bullied, he's not doing anything. So it's a weird kind of game he plays.
I think no, you're absolutely right. I think and also just a fun fact, I think he's gonna be the new Mavs JJ Barea. You know, he's like been on that team since like 2013.
He has.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I thought he was, like, insanely young.
No, I mean, he is, but, like what he left, he went to Stanford and got drafted in 2013, 2014.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And that's what I'm saying. You don't think about it, but he's one of those guys that's been there his whole career. And you don't think about it because he is extremely young. I just thought that was interesting.
That's...
Because, like, I try to think of another player on the team that's still there. I was trying to think about it. I can't think of any, like, players that are still on the team they got drafted by.
Yeah.
That aren't star players.
Huh. Only Joel Embiid, but...
Yeah, I know, but it's star. But like,
Giannis.
I'd say without being a star, but...
Being a star.
Yeah.
I thought you said with being a star.
Yeah, so it's just like... I can't think of anyone. I mean, like, literally. I'm trying to think maybe Jose Alvarado, but he's only been in the league for, like, what, 3 years now?
Two years. This is the second year. Yeah. So it's... I feel like if you're not a star, role players are going to get moved eventually.
Yeah.
But
John Collins probably is the only other one.
John Collins is in the trade talks every single year, and it's the same result.
Yeah.
It's, we'll keep him, I guess.
Yeah, it's just like him and Jonathan Isaac are probably the only ones that...
Jonathan Isaac came back, and he's been playing pretty good.
Really? Okay.
From what I've seen. Yeah, he's... I remember his first couple games back, he's been... I don't want to say a force, because it's the Magic, and no one's really a force on that team.
Yeah.
But he actually looked good,
Not
pretty
yet,
good.
Though. Yeah. Oh. I wanted to know how he'd be defensively, because that's what he was known for coming out. He was a fourth overall pick, trying to be like a defensive style.
I think, from what I remember, I haven't seen him play in a minute just because of All Star and everything. But he was a really good defender. I think.
Yeah, and then that knee, Florida State, right? Didn't he go to Florida State? I'm pretty sure. I think he went to Florida State, and then I think maybe he transferred to Florida State, but I'm not. I could be messing that up, but. Yeah, well, hopefully...
Yeah, he did go to Florida State.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, ACL tear. Hopefully that Magic team's going to be good. We already discussed that, but I think Paolo's going to be a force.
A force if he figures out the jump shot.
Yeah.
He's been a little...
It's getting better, though.
He's getting better, but he's iffy from three. Like, he's not really... Yeah. He's not a really great shooter from three.
Reminds me of, like, Blake Griffin.
Young Blake Griffin, kind of.
But, yeah. But yeah, well, we'll see what happens. We'll probably have more hot takes next week. I know that we have something cooking.
Something in the works.
Yeah, I know we might have a little special something coming. Mills, maybe special guest coming on, but
let's just say he participated in the All-Star Weekend this year.
Yeah, that is true. That's a good. I like that tease. I think we'll end it on that.
This is 90.7 the Capstone. This is Connor Rolls and Jalen Brooks, and we are logging off.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.